You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
The Reaper botnet is still quiet, looking like a booter for hire. Bad Rabbit shows some odd stealth and some interesting strategic selectivity. A malicious Chrome extension steals everything you put on a website. Currency miners on phones seem to be the one kind of crime that doesn't pay, but that's not stopping crooks from stuffing them into Google Play. The first indictments in the U.S. probe of Russian election influence operations are out, and a class action suit is filed over the Equifax breach. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, October 30th, 2017. The Reaper IoT botnet remains puzzlingly quiescent. It may also be smaller than initially believed. Security company Checkpoint's tally of 1 million, widely reported last week, was based on extrapolation from an observed size of 30,000. It's not a bogus number, but it is an extrapolation. Other security firms have come up with lower infection totals. NetLab 360 initially put the total somewhere between 10 and 20,000 devices, now up to nearly 30,000. Radware and Ixia have arrived at numbers similar to NetLab 360's, but the botnet could expand swiftly. NetLab 360 reports observing a queue of about 2 million devices vulnerable to exploitation by a Reaper control server. While most researchers see signs of amateur missteps by Reaper's developers, the botnet's development platform lends itself to attacks other than the expected DDoS. But as things stand, Reaper looks like a booter or stressor service intended for China's domestic DDoS-for-hire black market. That's Arbor Network's assessment, anyway. They've told Krebs on Security that, quote, Reaper appears to be a product of the Chinese criminal underground. Some of the general Reaper code is based on the Mirai IoT malware, but it is not an outright Mirai clone, end quote. Researchers at Morphus Labs are describing a new malicious Chrome extension that they're calling Catch-All. Catch-All does what its name suggests. It intercepts and captures all of a user's interactions with sites reached through the browser. Morphus researcher Renato Marinho has details up on the SANS Institute's Internet Storm Center InfoSec forum. He's been tracking malicious Chrome extensions for some time. This campaign, which has been observed in Portuguese-language emails, fishes its way into victims' machines posing as an email with links to photos sent via WhatsApp. If you follow a link, you'll download a dropper, which will present a bogus Adobe Reader install screen. And at that point, Bob's your uncle, or rather, their uncle, since CatchAll will indiscriminately pull in all the data you enter into any website you visit. Security researchers are reporting an odd discovery about BadRabbit. FireEye and Cylance say the ransomware skips encryption if it detects Dr. Web antivirus software. Dr. Web published the same findings. Cylance thinks it's a stealth measure having to do with the way Dr. Web protects the master boot record, and that BadRabbit also keeps an eye out for McAfee products that operate similarly to Dr. Web's. FireEye thinks it looks fishy, and that BadRabbit may not be the typical criminal ransomware this spawn of NotPetya would have us think. FireEye's Nick Carr offered some perspective on what they think is up with BadRabbit. On the 24th, the company began to detect and block attempts to infect clients with a drive-by download, posing as a bogus flash update. Carr said, quote, "The infection attempts were referred from multiple sites simultaneously, indicating a widespread strategic web compromise campaign," end quote. FireEye has been seeing this sort of malicious JavaScript framework in the wild since February of this year, including its usage on several of the sites from today's attacks. According to Carr, quote, "This framework acts as a profile that gathers information from those viewing the compromise pages, including host and IP address info, browser info, referring site, and cookie from referring site. Malicious profilers allow attackers to obtain more information about potential victims before deploying payloads," end quote. FireEye sees BadRabbit's approach as involving strategic web compromises that enable attackers to select targets carefully and cease operations swiftly. Carr explained further, quote, "When we say strategic web compromises, this means an attacker hosts malicious code on an unknowing victim's website that is then used to infect the true targets. The websites are carefully selected for compromise so that they will have the most direct reach to the ultimate targets with minimal collateral damage. In the case of BadRabbit, many strategic compromises were Eastern European travel and media websites used to then profile visitors and deliver the payload," end quote. India's Computer Emergency Response Team has issued a medium security alert for BadRabbit, which seems about right. It's not clear that mobile devices have the computational oomph to mine useful amounts of cryptocurrency, but that hasn't stopped the hoods from trying. Trend Micro reports a resurgence of Android miner malware in the Google Play Store. They detect the malware as Android's JS Miner and Android's CPU Miner. They'll run down your battery and degrade performance. In industry news, cybersecurity startup Kryptonite has emerged from stealth, that's Kryptonite with a C, with investment from Gula Tech Adventures and early stage support from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Science and Technology Directorate. Kryptonite specializes in helping networks protect themselves by containing infections and blocking lateral movement. U.S. Special Counsel Robert Mueller this morning announced charges against two individuals emerging from the Russian influence probe. Paul Manafort, briefly President Trump's campaign manager during the run-up to the Republican convention, and Manafort's associate Richard W. Gates were indicted by a federal grand jury Friday on 12 counts of conspiracy against the United States, conspiracy to launder money, unregistered agent of a foreign principal, false and misleading FARA statements, false statements, and 7 counts of failure to file reports of foreign bank and financial accounts. More indictments are widely expected, and the U.S. Senate and House are moving forward with investigations of activities surrounding political opposition research consultants Fusion GPS. And in civil litigation, as night follows day, so does the plaintiff's bar follow the data breach. A class action lawsuit has been filed against Equifax on behalf of those who suffered identity theft as a result of the credit bureau's loss of their personal information. What took you so long, counselor?
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Emily Wilson. She's the Director of Analysis at Terbium Labs. Emily, welcome back. You brought to my attention a recent Poneman study on third-party breaches, and interesting narrative there. It was sort of not your breach, but it's still your problem. Take us through what we need to know here.
Absolutely. The not your breach, still your problem is definitely a topic that keeps coming up again and again. We're seeing, obviously, industry-wide more people looking at and feeling the impacts of data breaches. And typically, people are thinking about people are concerned about breaches, you know, hey, is this my data? And more specifically, is this my problem? Is this my system? But, you know, companies don't always have the benefit, and call it a benefit, right, of it being something that they can control or they can contain. And Poneman's looking at data around how people are assessing and evaluating not only third-party risk, but what they're calling nth-party risk. The third parties you trust with your data, then who are they sharing that data with?
And how can you get control over that? Is it a matter of disclosure? That basically, anyone you do business with who has access to your data, you require them to tell you who they're going to share the data with and how?
That's one approach to it. And Poneman has a nice breakdown. I would encourage, I know plenty of the listeners are going to be familiar with the Poneman reports. This one's from September this year, third-party risk ecosystem. I would recommend reading it. They talk about different ways companies are approaching this, and some of it is in contractual language. But then also, you know, a lot of this relies on a third party disclosing to you that they've had a problem, which means the third party needs to know that they've had a problem. Mm. And that's an entirely separate issue.
Right. We've got the statistics are sobering there that can take, I don't know what the current number is, but we've certainly heard up to a year before you even know that someone has been inside your system.
Right. And that ends up showing up in this report. Only 35% of respondents were confident that a third party would notify them if they'd had a data breach. And that drops down to 11% for an nth party, right? Someone outside of a third party. And so when you look at that, if only 35% of the respondents were confident that a third party would share that with them, you know, how does that number drop even further when, you know, again, that's notifying them when they know there's a problem?
Are we heading towards this time when perhaps the safest approach is just assume that the data has been breached?
I wish I could be as optimistic as saying that we are heading toward that time. I think companies need to now assume that they have been breached or that one of their partners has been breached. As we've been seeing, even with a company like Yahoo, you know, we recently heard that the number of accounts exposed there was even higher than we originally thought. And that dates back to, 2014?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we're going to see over the next coming years, we're going to, you know, continue to hear about breaches that people are discovering 2 or 3 years later. I think you absolutely have to assume that there has already been or soon will be a problem.
All right. Emily Wilson, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. you can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and zero trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.